Happy Sabbath, familia.
Happy Sabbath.
Do you hear me? Yeah. No? Hello? Yeah? Now, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, happy Sabbath. I want to start by asking a few questions that I believe are more of a rhetorical questions. I believe I know the answers. But I just want to ask, is this church a safe place? Is it possible for someone to open up their heart and share it with us all? If I open up my heart to you, is it possible for me to open up my heart and share it with you? So with that being said, it's because we might know it, but when we speak it out loud, then we are accountable to each other. So the topic I want to talk about today is what this mission trip is about, the knowledge, bring it to the hands, to your feet, just to make it real in your life. Oh. Well, hopefully it works. if not, I just read it. And please bear with me. I want to start sharing something and reflect on this. The mind can do amazing things without us even realizing it. Humans find it hard to connect what they think with what they feel. And lastly, knowing something is true doesn't always match how we feel. And if I may, I want to share something that was pretty impactful to me. And please help me to remember to go all the way and explain the whole story at the end of the sermon. I'm just going to give you half of it. So yesterday, we were planning on going out to do some chores and things like that we needed to do to be able to be ready for Sabbath. And after we got showered and we were getting ready, my kids went out to play, and the place we live at, we have a pool. So they were playing, they know their boundaries, they know where they need to go, and they know how far they can get into the pool. But you know, kids are kids. And my middle kid, he approached to the edge of the pool, and his younger sister, which is my baby, she was doing the same, but for her weight was too much, so she fell in. And I thank God my kid is smart enough and knows what to do, that he yelled, "Mom, Ava." And so my wife yelled, "Husband, Ava." So I was taking a shower. I wasn't fully dressed. I was complaining that I didn't want to wear some shoes, but my wife is like, "Please wear them." I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it." And then without thinking it, I ran into the water, jumped in it, I pulled up my daughter. It was only a few seconds, but this is to say that, yes, things can happen without thinking through that. And I thank God we were there. I really thank God that he was, this happened when we were close, because this happens sometimes when people cannot do anything. So we thank God for that. And please, I'm going to stop here. And remind me to share the end of the story. So, why is it so difficult to move things from the head to the heart? Because, and this is an example of our experience as Christians, we believe that God loves us and is making everything work out for the best, but we still feel anxious. Why is it that? And because we haven't said or told stories enough to ourselves to believe that. And why do I mean by this? Sometimes knowledge needs to be experienced. Sometimes we just stay in the knowledge area, and we don't feel that we belong to those promises, that those promises are for someone else. So we need to tell stories that can make real the promises of God real to our lives. I'm sorry, it's not showing. So how do we bridge the gap? Bridging is amazing. This is to say, when we move things from the head to the heart, it's just a beautiful experience. But not all of us have experiences. Or if we have, sometimes we put it aside because feelings are sometimes really strong. And to say this, what is our reality? What are we living by? What are the stories we tell? Are we telling the stories of God? Or are we telling the stories of the world? Are we connecting the truth with our feelings or living in the world of lies? Because living the truth set us free. But living in lies brings fear and enslavement. So I'm going to share some of the things that we might be living. What story do we tell ourselves? When we start our day by checking work emails on our phone, feels like waking up to the pressures of performance. How often do we wake up and we think, okay, I need to accomplish this at my work? And instead of focusing on something else, I know we all go through this, but what is the focus on our day? Do we have to do as much as I can so I can be enough? Or do I need to accomplish as much so I can be validated? Starting our day on social media, we often find ourselves comparing and feeling envious. So when we open up our cell phones or computers or devices where we can check on our social media, then we start thinking about, well, I would like to go to Africa as just this mission trip group is going. And then we start feeling envious or comparing ourselves because we haven't done that or this. And so those are things that we have to think about. Starting our day with the idea that the world is falling apart, we might get frustrated with those who don't understand. So frustration, comparison, performance, what else? When we lay in bed thinking about all the things we need to do when we wake up, then we can feel overwhelmed. But small daily habits are powerful because they are never neutral. So we have to understand that. And this is to say we have to keep in mind that every small thing that we do will influence the way we live. So that's why I was asking, what are the stories you're telling to yourself? Every morning, are you waking up to the reality of God? Are you trying to experience His presence in your life? Or are you focusing on what is happening in the world, which is not wrong? We have to understand where we are, where we live, and what we can do for the best, as this mission trip is going to do over there. But we have to think about what is the focus on our life. The way we talk to ourselves each day shows if we really believe in Jesus' message or not. So, what is our reality? Are we really living in truth? Are we filling ourselves with the light of Jesus? Or are we experiencing the darkness of this world? We must make up our mind and see what is our reality. Prioritizing rooting habits in the truth of the gospel over just knowing the gospel, remember that our call is to connect with our hearts to God's love, not just to know what He has done. So yes, when we read the Bible, which is what we need to do, and we will talk about that later, is something meaningful. But we need to make it real for our lives as well. We need to make it real for us And as we experience it, we can share with others those truths. So, let there be light. That's what Jesus, that's what God said at the beginning when he was creating. Light is what happens at the beginning of our story. What did he do in Genesis? He created all the world as we know it, but he created light so we could see. And then, how does the Bible end? On God's being who? The light of the world. He wants to be the light for all of us. And if we read the Bible, through the Bible, we see God in the middle of the story as well. If we see Moses, what happened to him? He would see God, and he would even, at least that's how the Bible says, that he would be needed to cover his face because he, being in the presence of God, would shine too much for others. If we see Elisha, he saw God through fire, burning fire. And every person who got in contact with God, they encountered light. So we need to open up our minds and let God be the light that opens our hearts. Because the morning light might wakes us up to every day, but the light of Christ wakes us up to reality. Because it is the light of Christ that pulls back the curtains of the heart. So we might know much, but until we have experienced Christ in our life, then we will be able to have an experience with our heart. So what about habits? Recognizing how our habits influence us help us understand the spiritual practices and how they shape our hearts, directing us towards God through and replacing harmful habits with meaningful ones. So as we talk about different habits, I want to invite you to remember that kneeling is one of the things that we have to do. Why do we kneel? Because we want to come before God in prayer. Kneeling to pray can dispel any intrusive thoughts that seek to take the place of our connection with God. And one of the things that I learned is it might be hard for us, but once we start moving our brain to move our legs to our knees, then we start connecting the knowledge to our heart. Consider our worries and remember, this is not about letting the worries and the things that we need to do on the side. It is to consider the worries in the context of God's love instead of dismissing them. I'm not trying to say, forget about everything. No, I am just trying to remind you that when we come before God first, the experience of the day will be different. Then, as I mentioned, reading the Bible is just meaningful because the Bible is true and its promises are real. And every time we read, we can see what God has done. And if we meditate enough, we give ourselves time, then we can see how God is working in your life, in my life, in others' life, so we can open up our hearts and let him in, so we can really experience what he is doing. It is a command and an invitation for one reason, because when we read it, we are changed. Once again, I know that the mission trip is something special, and some of them might have done this different times or many, many times before. But if we don't get to do these things, how are we telling them to experience the power of God for others? So as they go out there, let them feel, let them experience how God is working through them for the glory of his kingdom, for his glory. And another habit that I want to remind you is we need to approach every day with purpose. So once again, is your purpose to fill your heart with accomplishment and feel that you do enough? Is it your day, your purpose to feel validated by others? What are your thoughts when you wake up? So approaching each day with purpose does not mean to other than reaching out to God and let Him guide you so you can do the best for His glory and do as much as you can for others. So approach each day with purpose and not just for obligation. We not only begin the day in God's love, but one of the things that I keep reminding myself is that we are to go out to love. I don't only experience the love of God, but I am here to share that love with others. And one of the things that I want to remind you is that spiritual practices don't promise to make life easy or get rid of all worries. Once again, I'm not here to say once you pray, once you read the Bible, everything is going to be okay, because we live in a broken world where we will experience ups and downs, good things, bad things. But the way we approach it will give us the opportunity to see God's power, God's mercy in our life and the others as well. So, but they can open up our hearts to see what God is, to see that God is with us every step of our lives. And as I approach to the end, I want to remind you one thing. Oh, well, let me finish with the story before I go to the end. I shared the story of my baby because when it ended and I knew everything was okay, I came to my wife, and as we were doing the chores and all the things that we needed to do for Sabbath, I started asking her. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel worried. I think that shouldn't be that way. So she's like, "Don't worry, you're not a sociopath or things like that." So I was like, I know, and I hope I am not, but I didn't feel it that way. And she's like, "Remember that our body reacts to the situation, and this is not a think situation. This is a do situation." And so as the day went through, I was going through the experience the whole day, and I was just, "God, what happened? Do I need to cry or not cry?" and things like that. So I stayed like that the whole day. But almost at the end, when I came to see if I could run the computer, which we couldn't, I called a friend, and we started talking, and he's like, "So why did you wanted to talk to me?" And then I shared the experience to him, and he reminded me of this reality, that the brain goes faster when it is about doing than when it's about feeling. So while we were talking, I started crying. I started crying, and I said, "What could have happened? And I know my daughter is okay, my wife is okay, my kids are okay, but my mind, even when my mind knows that everything is okay, I can't hold it." So he's like, "It's a lot to bear. But remember that your brain makes you react. And then when all that rush comes and settle in, then you need to allow yourself to feel. Even if it's pain, if it's impression, whatever you are going through, let those hard feelings go through. Just feel them." And I started crying, so he said, "It must be difficult. I don't even imagine myself going through that situation." And this is to remind ourselves that experiencing God might not be easy because the emotions that we go through Christian life might be overwhelming sometimes. We might need to go through pain. We might need to go through suffering. But he also wants us to experience joy, peace, because those are the goals that he has for us. He's like, my desire is for you to have peace, to have joy, to enjoy life. And the reason why I decided to put the title From the Head to the Heart is because one of the things that I learned when I started studying about human behavior is that we cannot fully experience life if we do not feel. Feelings give meaning to life. So from the head to the heart is not only about a nice concept, it's about giving meaning to the experiences, and especially to those who are going to the mission field, to give meaning to the experiences that you will have, helping others, preaching about the gospel, seeing and allowing God to show how it feels to help others, how it feels to see others experiencing freedom that only He can give. So my desire is to remember that the knowledge that He's giving us through the Bible is for us to put it not only here, but make the connection to the heart. May the Lord bless you all.